Welcome to the Adversity Psychologist podcast, a podcast incorporating narratives about facing and navigating adversity, a mixture of people, their experiences, and professional psychological discussion. I'm Dr. Tara Quinn-Tirillo. I'm a qualified and regulated psychologist with over 20 years' experience of mental health, disability, and human behaviour. I want to share people's stories of navigating adversity in the hope that through being heard, a dose of compassion and some understanding, we can help others in the face of adversity too.
Hi, and welcome to the Adversity Psychologist podcast. I'm really excited this morning. We've almost done a podcast chatting before we hit record, haven't we? A really exciting episode today. So I have Vinco Anthony with me today. I always let my guests introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about who they are, but more importantly as well, what's brought you on today? What are we going to talk about?
Thank you. It's very kind of you, Tara. I'm really super happy also myself to be here, and such a lovely little introduction before we pressed recording. So thank you so much. Oh gosh, who am I? I think it's important. My heritage has always really been important to me. So I was born in a little town in Croatia, and where life was really beautiful. It was, it was a beautifully simple life that, it was the 70s. Most evenings were kind of spent outside with neighbors, talking, passing, it was that sort of sense of freedom.
Absolutely.
Sat around the table with your family for lunches and dinners, and the rest of it, on holidays you used to disappear, no one cared where you were, and then you mingled with the neighbors and life. And my whole life was, my whole childhood, I should say, was very much carefree, my whole life. And from there on, and especially today, I've always realized how important it is to stop as much as it is to contribute.
Yes. Absolutely. We were talking about that before, weren't we? That balance, because you do an awful lot, but we were talking about it, productivity in a good way. You have an incredible backstory. You also have a book out. I've had another guest on who's also connected through your publicist as well, which is why I was like, I absolutely have to have you on. Because your book is about your lived experience. And what is that lived experience? What is it that you spend your life, what is your value-based living and work around?
My life has always been, I think we live in a world where we've never been more connected, but many people are still kind of searching for who they are, right? In this,
yes. These
little simple things, which, back to the beginning of our conversation, it takes me back to that start of how I grew up. Yes. I think I always, in that neighborhood and in my family, I always felt like I was seen, and I felt like I was heard, and I felt like I was truly loved, really. And doesn't matter that I was a little gay in the making in a little town of Croatia, where in the 70s, it was a very unknown territory. But I think those constitutional formative years taught me in how to live my life today. And all my life I've always worked making other people's lives more joyful and better, and I think I have a personality where vulnerable people kind of relate to well, and so I'm not surprised that life took me. I worked in the political world with Australian Prime Minister's wife at one stage, and that was a very dynamic kind of environment. And that was my previous job before we launched Beau Brummel. And now I've kind of, my path has just led me through all of these journeys and lots of troubles and businesses into helping gay men find love. So we launched Beau Brummel, my husband and I, 16 years ago, and we are now the only ones that kind of have the sphere of monogamy, long-term commitment. It's a very fragile world, really, as I think I use that word a lot, because you can go in so many corners.
Absolutely. The thing that really struck me about your story, because you obviously, people can look up Beau Brummel, tell us a little bit. I mean, it's an introduction bespoke agency, isn't it? But yes, your lived experience of how authentic we are in our relationships and how at times things like shame, guilt may stop us from really showing up or feeling that we can really be vulnerable with someone. And that's the thing that you have ploughed into what you do, because I don't think people talk about this enough. And as you say, I love what you said at the beginning there. I'm all about connection. I run a isolation and loneliness project here in the UK. We're so connected. We're so digitally connected. There are dating apps beyond belief, aren't there? Quick swipes. But it's the longer term, I'm going to say it and be bold, you know, more meaningful connection in a different way. That's what you're about. And that's not to shame people. There's a whole breadth of connection that we may want romantically, sexually. But what you do is based on that lived experience of wanting to be authentic in relationships, but it's long-term commitment and connection. Are you comfortable telling us a little bit about your backstory? What is it that you faced in terms of how authentic you've been able to be in relationships, being able to just be you, tell people about you?
No, absolutely. Look, I think we've all of us, I mean, if somebody hasn't had adversity in their life, you sort of go, if they've been fed with a Tiffany's silver spoon, it's wonderful if they have, but I think we all experience it, but it's not, for me anyway, that adversity in my life was never about a single moment, you know. It's something that sort of builds up. You know, it's a long process of kind of learning how to be honest about kind of who I was and who I am. And especially coming, you know, from a little town in Croatia and a Catholic background. You know, being gay was not something that felt easy or safe to express with others. So, but that journey alone, I think, gave me sort of deep understanding of what, in today's world, of what gay men carry and we carry inside ourselves. You know, there is fear, there is shame, there is even loneliness and, I don't know, we just all of us humans, we just want to be loved properly, right?
Absolutely.
So I have, and
authentically as well, I'd say as well, you know, being loved for who you are, all the parts of you, the bits you might not like so much, the things you've been through, that it's not conditional. I think that's really important.
You know, something that you might not have liked about yourself, you know, I think everything finishes, right? Even tough and bad times will end. And those things that might be situations or personality or times that we don't like about ourselves will pass and it will change.
I really like that. It's wonderfully simple, but quite powerful.
So I'm not sure whether I answered your question correctly.
No, you did perfectly. Because one of the things that I really love is that, what is it about your book, so All In, How to Make Love Stick? What is it about the love sticking? What is it about that longer term meaningful connection that's important to you?
Well, I think it's such a difficult thing to achieve in any relationship. Whether it is your friendships, whether it is relationship with your family or your personal relationships. You know, my relationship with my husband. It's never all roses, right?
Yeah.
We are all going to have tough times and there's challenges. But if you have, and if you are all, you will, I think we all think we have good listening skills, but we can all improve at them continuously.
Absolutely.
And if you that, can okay. master that.
Yes.
That's, to me, what relationship means and the longevity is. I think you will survive anything if you have ability to listen.
And the fact that actually as a human being, I think it's wonderful that we can admit that we have flaws, that we may have moments where we're not able to listen, and how we embrace those. To me, that helps with longevity of relationships, is that real vulnerability, having the tricky conversations.
And I think that's why, Tara, I think that's why Bo Brummel was born, you know, from seeing kind of how many gay men are successful on, you know, on the outside of their world, because we all try to try harder, I think, than... What does one say? We try harder in life, not to compare us to stripe, call us names, or straight or gay or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is a deep loneliness, I think, inside of a gay man because of all of that non-acceptance early on. So it's really important to understand that. And, you know, many of us have really wonderful careers and homes and social lives, and we appear this happy bunch of people. But there are still struggles to find, you know, that someone equal, that person that we want to share life with, to be serious and emotionally available, I think, with that person, because that's that's a big topic.
It's that, I love that element that, you know, having that someone to share life with. That, so Bo Brummel is around finding long-term relationships, isn't it? It's authenticity, it's meaning, it's sharing a life with someone. But also, I'm going to let you tell me, what is it that made you move from that?
Sorry to interrupt.
There you go.
No, it's for me. When we were launching Bo Brummel, I've always lived my life in that commitment sense. I've always been better in a relationship where I know somebody and what makes them tick and what makes them laugh, what makes them sexually satisfied.
Yes.
You and I can, you know, even. There's comfort between you and I, and there's, if the friendship is formed, I can sit with you over a cup of tea or afternoon or a cocktail and talk about our sexual fantasies and what's important to us and what we want to achieve from that in life. But we forget to talk about it with our partners.
Yes,
and it's
absolutely.
The most important person to talk to about that. And then I think... what happens in my community with gay men, because the communication is not there and we're not openly talking about what our desires in the bedroom are or sexually, people stray. So they go and look outside of the relationship for that. My work is about commitment. It's about monogamy, it's about long term, but it is 2026, right? And we live in this modern world where that comes in all kinds of different forms. I just couldn't introduce anybody to someone on my books if they wanted an open relationship.
Yes.
But you know, if 6 years later they found each other in Mallorca and there was a third person that wanted to nibble on both of them, might even make their relationship stronger.
Absolutely.
if they had communication around it. You know,
that's so the thing. It's why I call that the baseline. It's that having, it's so interesting, isn't it? You would talk, I think that's really resonated with me. You're probably more likely to talk to your friends about things that you won't talk to your partner about. But those are the things that sometimes can end up fracturing a relationship, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If, and it comes back to that thing. And it, and then what mostly I think my book is about comes always down to those listening skills and how, yes, I've learned them. And my grandmother was a very big figure in my life, and I think my communications with my learning of listening still started quite young with her. You know, she was this quite just a quiet force, I guess you could say, in my life. You know, yeah, this Croatian woman of sort of deep strength and unwavering love at the same time, and you know, her presence made everything feel sort of safe,
yeah,
and it made it feel certain. So that's kind of where
she sounds incredibly special. Yeah, yeah.
She was an amazing woman. Our relationship was really one of unspoken understanding, and I think we, I don't know, the smallest moments together with us carried this really sense of belonging for me.
Yes.
And I've carried that through my whole life. And I think I've carried that through my work. It's interesting what that, up to the age of 14, 15, who, yes, we are constitutionally, how that affects us and how it affects our relationships,
yes,
and our friendships, and who complements us and who we take in and who we nurture.
Absolutely. I love the fact that there's, is it all right to use that word, thread? There's almost a thread there. I loved what you said at the beginning, talking about your background, you know, your culture, religion that you grew up with. Is that community rooted kind of in love, connection? And I'm a massive fan, human to human connection, not digital. It's great, as you say, it's a digital world. We can meet, you and I can do a podcast from, you know, New South Wales to the, yes, UK.
But oh, it's changed people. Lives, right?
Yes.
But it's still, and we've, you know, as I've said before, you know, we've never been more connected, but we've never been more lonely. So it's really, I mean, would you or I want to go back and open roadmaps and join one street to the other one, or and how to get there and put the car on the side? And no, of course, it's wonderful where we are at in today's world, and I don't.
Yes.
But look what I've done with my business. It's something that's been around for centuries. It's not something new. It's just in today's world of flick, flick, next, next type of mentality, it seems like it's new, but it's not.
It's the, for me, I love change. I'm a techie person. I love, it's remembering what we need, I say, to survive as human beings.
Yeah.
And we need purposeful meaning connection, but we do need person to person connection. And we know from, you know, neuroimaging studies, we know that loneliness, isolation can have physical health issues. It can have huge changes for our mental health, and we need that. So that's what I really love about what you do. There's something, isn't there, in your story about, you know, how we get that balance between being really honest in a relationship, so saying, this is what I want. I want meaningful, longer term connection. I want love. Mm-hmm. The communication that's needed to A, start that, I guess, but also maintain it. But how we protect ourselves as well. Do you want to tell us a little bit? Because in your book, you cover all this, don't you?
Yeah, I talk a lot about that. I mean, I think the book started because I when I met Andrea, I always said to him, there's a story in us to be told. And you know, and when I'm the type of person, when I say something, if I start something, I have to finish it. And I started, yes, this book, and I just needed to finish it. And it's not that, you know, I'm Shakespeare or a great writer or anything, but I think we all have a story in us.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
You know, and when I'm meeting Andrea and building a life together, for me, showed me that love is not just a romance, even though we had this romance that I said, oh, I'm going to write a book about it one day. But, you know, love becomes safety, and it becomes loyalty.
Yes.
you know, it's also patience and choosing each other every single day for who we are. And, you know, if you wake up one morning grumpy, well, you choose them grumpy. It doesn't matter. But you've really got to, it's got to come from the heart. If you come from the heart and the kindness and sweetness, and it's really not hard and it's not difficult in today's world to bring that. It's, let's just say, it's super important to bring love and kindness and sweetness in today's world, because we all need it more than ever, I think.
I think that's a really good point. I love the fact that you said sweetness as well. You know, you're all about joy as well, aren't you? You know, it's value-based.
But, you know, and that's what... thank you, Tara. But, you know, that word sweetness, when I'm relating it to, you know, sometimes in my community, in the gay community, if you were to describe somebody as sweet, automatically, because we are our biggest guest critic, and we are our biggest, we are so judgmental in our community that the minute that you would describe somebody, you know, automatically somebody thinks, oh, they're too effeminate, or they're too gay, or they're too whatever. It happens in such a small community. We separate ourselves and don't give ourselves enough support, and as we don't do ourselves any favor with it that way. So if I could create this room where I, with my branding and marketing and my love and my joy and my commitment and now expertise over 16 years, if I can provide a little bit of that and support it and bring a bit of love in the world, why not?
That's the thing that I love, because some people might come up with an idea, but, and I guess that's what this podcast is about, it's lived experience, it's being wonderfully human, which is the vulnerabilities, that everything. And I think so many people in relationships, whatever kind of relationships they're in, still really don't talk enough about being authentic and feeling safe enough to go, I like that, I want that, I don't want that, I have something about me that I've struggled with. You all have bits of ourselves that we struggle with or things we've been through, and how refreshing to be able to provide people with a way to start to address that stuff, to lead to, I'm just imagining the kind of people that you work with. I've had that recently where I've met some people where you just genuinely start to have that authentic connection, and it's really, really refreshing.
It's so lovely. It's so lovely. And, you know, for many gay men, they have had to become strong very early in their lives. Yep. Very early. I'm talking about, you know, when you don't even realize what the word gay means.
Yes.
But you know that you have to protect yourself without even verbalizing it. But sometimes, you know, that strength can become a wall in the end of it, you know. Yep. We protect ourselves so much. It's funny to say this, but I think we protect ourselves so much that it's really difficult for gay men to let love come in. And that's what my work is about. It's about getting that angle of people seeing themselves and seeing love in a different way, and seeing relationships and heterosexual relationships in exactly the same way like homosexual ones. And I think that's where we came a long way from when I grew up in that little country town. In Croatia, and you know, there was no role models, there was no one to talk to.
I'm wondering, because in your book you have a section, we've talked about this, haven't we, about your lived experience in your past, and what was it, because I'm guessing obviously running Beau Brummel for 16 years you would have had enough information to just put that in a book. What is it that made you want to share your own story? That's all right to ask. Why put that in there?
There is so many stories that I could, through through Beau Brummel that I could write 10 books.
Yeah, I was wondering that. Yeah.
No, you're really, if I go deep with clients, and clients, you know, I try to create trust with everyone, and you hear not just their own stories. And I work with really exceptional people, so I hear so much love and so much joy, and sometimes not so much. And but I chose within my book not to. I think I've shared maybe one or two sort of success stories, and I think I've also shared stories that weren't so easy to achieve, clients that wasn't so easy to achieve love for. And then also, I've always in my life felt like I was never going to be loved again, because I contracted HIV. I think I was in my late 20s, or I don't remember actually the age that it was, and coming into a relationship and falling in love with somebody, and mm-hmm. having to always, it's almost like a coming out conversation.
Yeah.
So I chose, and I chose to share my own story, because it's not always so easy to have that conversation with somebody, and I chose not to share it with Andrea in the beginning. And I think it was not because everyone always in my life knew of my status. And somehow for 5 years with living with Andrea, it wasn't exchanged. And it didn't feel like I was living a lie, but would I have chosen to do it differently? Of course. And he told me himself that if I disclosed that very early on, that him and I wouldn't be together, because he wasn't educated on the subject. So it was really interesting. And I wrote that chapter, which is, you know, I don't know, it's to be vulnerable, to be open, to help somebody else with their own journey. It's still very... HIV is still very much misunderstood.
Absolutely. I was going to say that kind of reasons for you and what you needed at that time.
Because it's quietly feared, you know, even in today's modern world of dating. You know, even in the world where, you know, medication today has transformed what it means to live with HIV, it still has... this it's misunderstood. My hope is to open those conversations with honesty and open them with compassion, so that we can move beyond the stigma towards, you know, towards connection, towards understanding, and make informed choices. So that's why I went out with my own story of HIV and shared it. But you know, it's interesting. There's so much joy in my book, and it's mostly about joy. But today's, everybody loves a negative story. And I looked at writing this incredibly positively. But, you know, the journalists and the press always found a negative angle towards it, which is interesting to me. I find it fascinating.
And I was going to ask that, because I find that really interesting. So when we look at kind of, you know, making an informed choice about what you share about yourself and when and if even, is that was a decision you needed to make, no one else. You chose to do that when you did. But isn't it interesting in terms of what you were met with from your partner about if you had done it sooner? Yet the media make a big judgment, don't they? And what it would have meant for your long-term partnership had you done it a different way. And again, how you, because to me, that's adversity. You know, we're judged and shamed by the media a lot.
Of course. And, you know, and parts of your life that feel the hardest become a part that gives you the most compassion and the most strength. And purpose later in life. So, Andrea and I would not be who we are today if we didn't have that, you know, we've had to make big, big changes with our lives to be together and from one continent to another to sustain our relationship. So, of course, you know, and then and this is all part of the adversity that we talk about, you know. You can in your own relationship or with anyone or within my work or with my clients or my friendships, you can become this source of wisdom, you know, because you've had adversity in your life. It's not just about pain. It's about being able to exchange and give people advice, you know. And love requires so much courage.
It really does.
So much honesty, Tara, you know, and it's hard to be honest at times, you know, and, you know, and then honesty needs to also have the emotional openness.
Absolutely. You
know, gay men really deserve serious, committed, equal relationships, not just survival or casual connections. You know, I looked at the, you know, the latest Madonna concert on World Pride. Nothing against Grindr or hookup apps, but that the whole gay community and the whole world is seeing it. And I'm not saying that people are not meeting and creating lasting connections on Grindr. But it is known as a sexual app, so that we have seen, like, and that's what it's all about.
And do you think that potentially, you know, it fuels a kind of a misconception? But I'm wondering whether people that you've worked with, and it's obviously you don't need to obviously talk about it if you don't feel comfortable, but I'm just wondering whether people that you work with may have kind of been influenced by that and thought, well, maybe I don't deserve, or it's not okay to want something different.
I work, everyone that comes to me is, comes because that, you know, they don't come to me because I'm some dating guru or anything. I think everyone at the end of the day is tired of endless scrolling and endless, it's very, very difficult to meet like-minded people in today's world. And when you're busy, and time deprived, and when you value yourself and who you are in relationships, you just want to be surrounded by like-minded people. And because of the commitment that people make to me financially and emotionally and spiritually, that gives me the confidence to tell somebody that once I, on top of that, put all of my love and passion and joy into working with them, we can achieve success together. But you can't, Tara, give anybody any promises. And I don't want people to think out there through this conversation I'm here to buy a boyfriend, or we make a magic wand, wave a magic wand, and, you know, the boyfriend appears. It takes work to attract that right person in life. You know, and this is always comes back to me. You know, I would say to anyone that's listening, you know, whether gay men are listening or in any relationship, we can at times feel lonely or also even behind in life and with achieving that love. So, you know, and that's not because we are broken.
That's a really good point, because I wonder how many people's kind of inner critic rocks up with that. It must be
It's never too late. It's never too late. And we can give ourselves a hard time first. I always say, love is always and still possible. Doesn't matter where you are in your life, but it has to start with being honest about who you are.
Yes.
And what you truly need yourself, not about what somebody else wants from you.
So I was going to ask about that, actually. So as a psychologist, I do find it very interesting. We're in this age, you know, social media, selfies, filters. It is very, very different to how I grew up in my teens. You know, you'd meet people face-to-face, get chatting, you know, human connection. People are, I think, putting a different version of themselves forward compared to even maybe 10, 15 years ago. how we help people kind of strip away that, because if you're not kind of genuine with yourself or comfortable with who you are, how is that then being put forward?
Tara, we've never looked better. None of us. We've never taken better photos. We've, you know, there's a touch up here, touch up there, filter here. Oh, no, let me retake, do, post. Instagram lies. No one is, very rarely anyone is putting their true vulnerable self.
Yes, or,
like me today, when I said to you, I've got a head cold, I'm all swollen. I'm not going to take a photo of me today. I love photographs, but I never take a photo of myself. So I'm not a selfie person. But still, if I do post something or if I do it, you will never post a terrible photo of you, right? So it comes into dating the world. But so I've addressed all of that with my work where, I'll share this story. We've, you know, even in the filtering, as much as I do in my work and who's here, it can and is challenging when people have paid money to be somewhere and it hasn't worked. Money and emotions is not a good cocktail. So when you kind of contribute emotionally and financially, and then reality happens and people are still saying no, because my concept is about working with people until success happens. I never charge more money than a yearly membership, and I always give them a freedom of time. And what I call success is when they've been with that one person for 12 months and avoiding wrong dates.
Yes.
But avoiding wrong dates can sometimes feel like, oh, there is no dates and there is more on Grindr.
Yes, yes.
When it becomes a reality, right?
That's a good point.
And that's my biggest challenge with my work, because I have to continuously, doesn't matter how transparent I am in my conversations with clients who say, please keep your money if you don't get it, if you don't feel safe, you don't feel excited, if you don't see that it's your, that if you don't see the value in this, I'm not able to provide anything or give anything to this and my world and my concept but love. Yes. And then if we do the work together, it will happen, but you have to give the freedom of time for that to happen. So these photos and how we present ourselves and who we are sexually and emotionally and physically, and altering photos to look better than what we are, and then people meet you and it's an instant disappointment. Yeah. I'd rather look terrible and then meet somebody in person and they go, oh, he's better.
Absolutely. Because it's also keeping that up then as well, isn't that? You know, that cycle of shame that can come with, well, I'm not this or not that or not going to be accepted. So sometimes you get caught up in more of the
kind of shame. Today's world is fair. Yeah. We feel that we can say anything we want.
Yeah.
Because often you don't have your name, or you need to reveal your identity in public forums of discussions, but you can just anonymously say something negative towards somebody or towards a business or towards life. When
that's the digital age now, isn't it? Yes, absolutely. I'm going to take away today, it's authentic, being authentic, but also non-shaming to other people, non-judgmental to other people. It's really refreshing. Enough of it. It's hard, but this is exactly why I wanted to have you on, because even though obviously Bo Brummel is about gay relationships, I think every single listener that I have will just so much has resonated with me today. If people want to find out your book, where is it? We need to plug. So this is my homework this week is to go buy it and start reading.
The book, you can buy it through our website, through Bo Brummel Introductions, but it's also on Amazon, and it's out there. People will find it. It's called All In.
I love that.
I'm Nico Anthony, of course, and it's, you know, when you have a name like Linko, you can't get away with anything. So they'll find it.
And your website is Beau Brummel Introductions as well. So I will put all of these in the show notes.
.com, yes.
.com. I'll make sure all of that. Our show notes are live, so people can just literally click on them. So I will put your book and everything else in there.
And you've taught me more in how to listen this evening. So see,
thank you. Instant connection and joy. That's what I'm going to take away from today. I always ask every single guest, I show my age a little bit, my signature move is I always ask, I've had loads from you, if there was one little adversity takeaway that you could leave us with, what would it be?
Just be yourself. Doesn't matter whether you're going through pain, yes, or through joy or through hard time, own it. I will tell you, there was a stage in my life that I always, and this is, and I'm being totally truthful here, growing up in my 20s and 30s, you hear people that are depressed, that are going through a tough time. And I, because I'm so joyful and so big, and like I could never understand that, my response was like, oh, come on, get over it. Just change the way you think, and it will be okay.
Yeah.
Until, fast forward 20 years, I am in a situation where I'm depressed and I'm kind of on my bicycle and life got really tough, and all I wanted to do is ride in the back of the bus and go, you know, and to come home and understand that I was actually depressed. I called my yoga teacher, who's been in my life on a daily basis for over 30 years, and I said, Eileen, I think I'm depressed. And she said, congratulations. And I just went, that was another two or three sentences that followed from there, and you know how great it is to just acknowledge it, and that's how we feel and so forth. Yeah. But it's okay to be
self-validation,
to go through hard times.
Yes. Yeah, we can kind of chase the happy that we shouldn't be, got to get rid of it. But sometimes I do a lot of a type of therapy, which is about leaning in and accepting everything and not kind of that drop in that battle to push stuff away. I could talk to you all day. I might need to get you back on again, actually, because there's a lot of offshoots from today, which I think actually could make. So if you're ever happy to come again, I think we could
always
make some nice episodes, do like a mini series.
Yes, we'll do a little Tara and Binky.
Yeah, I will make sure I put all your things in the show notes as well. Please look up.
I loved every minute of this. I hope
look up Binky.
I didn't ramble on about love, because love is such a, I don't know, beyond.
I can feel it through the screen, which is really lovely. So over in the UK.
I can't wait to get. Are you in London?
I'm in, well, just south of London, so not far.
Just south of. Okay, well, I'm always on that hemisphere, and we will stay in contact.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'm sure we will.
Well, I would love to if you would. It's been
have that cocktail.
Joyful. Yes, let's do it.
Or two. I don't usually do one.
Lovely well, please to have two, then. Big kiss.
Thank you for listening to the Adversity Psychologist podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Quintarillo, and it's been lovely having you along to listen to this episode. If you want to find more about me, you can find me at drtara.co.uk. So you'll see everything I'm up to, my media work, my collaborations, my clinical work, if you're interested in that. And of course, all the other episodes of the Adversity Psychologist podcast. If you're interested in coming on, you can also contact me and let me know what you would like to come and talk about. I'd love to hear from you.